In this episode, I discuss my exercise of choice, short, efficient workouts, HIIT training, what Tabata means, and my all-time favorite workout under 10 minutes. Stay tuned for more. Welcome to the Almost Athlete podcast, where I discuss insights to fitness, wellness, and lifestyle that I've gained over the years. Through my experiences, I have encountered countless numbers of people who have injuries, aches, pains, limitations, and health challenges. I believe the vast majority of these could be solved, minimized, or altogether avoided with some basic insight into anatomy and physiology principles, as well as an understanding of wellness, including nutrition and daily habits. My goal is to bridge the gap from the lack of digestible, easy-to-understand information to actionable insights for a more functional, happy life. This episode is brought to you by Partners Crackers. At Partners, our family makes everything from scratch using fresh, high-quality ingredients. Our gourmet cookies, crackers, and granola are wholesome and baked to a crispy crunch without preservatives or hydrogenated oils. This is real food, naturally. Family-owned, simply delicious. Partners Crackers. Today I wanted to talk about one of my favorite approaches to exercise and one that tends to be my default on most days. And this is something that goes just after I do my daily warm-up series, which is really a combination of things that I try to do to really hedge my bets against injuries as well as just daily aches and pains and soreness and stuff that can come up. And this is something that I will describe in a different spot, but they're basically I'm going through a bunch of different movements for all my joints, getting my blood flow to increase, and really working on just getting my body prepped and ready for the workout, where that's what I wanted to talk about more today. So when I'm approaching my workouts, there's really a lot of different approaches that I take, and this is really kind of dependent upon what my goal is at the time. And I think that's a really good thing to keep in mind, is you want to base the way that you're going to train really focused on what your goal is. So if you're trying to get ready to run a marathon, you're going to need to do some run training, but you're not going to want to necessarily build up your one rep max for squats and bench press, even though building up some strength will absolutely help with running. Building the top end range of maximal strength will not necessarily help as much with distance training as you would want to spend the time building up that skill. So I think, you know, again, that's kind of a big subject we could dive into deeper, but, you know, it's important to just keep in mind that your training should reflect your goals. And so when I don't have a specific goal I'm training for as far as an event or a hike or something that I want to specifically have on the calendar, then oftentimes for me, my goal is continuously increasing strength, keeping my body healthy and fit. And for me, that means capable of doing activities on a whim. So if I get called up from a friend to go on a hike or decide I want to go play some pickup basketball or something like that, I want to be able to have enough buffer in my system that I can do that without compromising and potentially getting injured. And so the way that I'm looking at my training is really based around that, as well as trying to be as efficient as possible. And I know oftentimes it's easy to waste time in the gym or at home, wherever it is that you train, or just get bored with what's going on with the same routine that you've been doing. And so I think having options of different ways to train can be really helpful to battle against that. You know, ultimately, if you're training for health, wellness, fitness, like I argue we all should be doing, then that's a lifelong training session, right? That's something you're always going to have to have some sort of approach in your life. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the same thing. And actually, I would argue it should definitely not be the same thing always. And so, you know, there's value in variety, and that can be simple as changing the order of exercises that you do, and also adding different movements in, different planes of motion, you know, not just for performance, but also for avoiding injury. And I think it's also good to make sure that you're breaking up the patterning for your neurological system and making sure that we're always challenging for adaptation. But that doesn't mean that we need to neglect or not add a lot of reps at the kind of basic movement patterns. And some of those are squatting, deadlifting, kind of push-pull, hip hinging stuff, you know, and those make up the base of a lot of everything else that we're going to build on top of, including most of our life and daily activities. And so, you know, other things should kind of build up from there. But even there, there's a lot of variety that we could throw in. You know, let's look at a deadlift. You know, we could do a max weighted deadlift. We could do a lightweight deadlift and build in repetition and movement efficiency by doing lots and lots of reps. We could also do something in between and work on pacing of our movement. We could work on breathing, or maybe setting our core and then sequencing the other muscles properly. And, you know, there's lots of different pieces to all of these movements where it's easy to kind of overlook it and oversimplify it. And I've personally made that mistake many, many times in my own training. And I think that if we can kind of take a step back, remind ourselves what the big picture is, and remember that, you know, that with this training, this is going to be, again, a lifelong journey, that maybe it is okay sometimes to dive in a little deep and really try to focus on all the little nuances. And for me, that's one way to keep it exciting, to where I look forward to doing this movement practice again the next day or later that week or whenever that is. Other than it getting just kind of monotonous or feeling like it's, oh my gosh, I have to spend all this time, or that I just did this stuff yesterday, or I've been doing this for weeks or months or years. And, you know, really it should be something we look forward to, because there's so much that we benefit from it and that we get out of it. And so if we start to associate that in our mind negatively, I believe that just is going to be another roadblock for you to practice this stuff daily. So, you know, remember that it's absolutely worth the time and effort that you're putting into it. And I think that it is very valuable, and we should continue to remind ourselves that this is a positive thing. And so, you know, so for me, again, my goals are oftentimes efficiency. So I don't want to spend hours in the gym. Now, sometimes, depending on what the goal is, if I'm training for something that's really a long event, I might do that specifically for that event. But most often for me, I try to keep my workouts 45 minutes or less. And oftentimes it's more like 30 minutes or less. And that's including my warm-up time. And so, you know, I try to get in, get out, be done with it. And, you know, a few of my favorite workout approaches kind of fall under this umbrella of HIIT training, which is often referred to, or high intensity interval training. And I would say that's kind of an umbrella term for a lot of different things, which are basically doing something really intensely and then resting and having some sort of mixture of that. And so now you could do a high intensity interval training workout where you go, you know, a certain amount of time or repetitions or different movements without any rest, and then you're done. And that's one style. And then you could also do ones that have small intervals of built-in rest periods. You could also do a style that you do equal intervals of rest periods and intense movement. But really, I think the key underlying differentiator between this type of training and something that you would typically see at kind of a local big box gym, where you go in and you know, there's the big mirror in front and people are lifting dumbbells or doing a bench press, and those can all be incorporated absolutely into what I'm talking about. But the really key differentiator is the intensity component. And I think the way that I kind of think about intensity is that you're doing something that's either really hard, therefore you have to push yourself, or you're doing something that you do it enough times in a short time span that you really have to push yourself. And it's kind of, you know, maybe that's the kind of underlying theme here, is that you're getting to a place where you're challenged and you're really pushing yourself through that. When you've, you know, feel like you want to, yeah, I could take it a little easier, go a little slower, take a few more breaths, and that's the point where you just continue. And I think that's where you kind of get the big difference as far as outcomes with this type of training, as opposed to the other way of, you know, again, kind of what we think about as normal, going to the gym and lifting weights or something like that. So, but, you know, again, this could be applied to almost anything that you could think of. And so, I'll talk about another one of my favorite specific approaches or workouts that's in this umbrella of training. And, this is one that it's simply 100 burpees for time. And so, you know, I like that saying, just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy. And this is a perfect example of that. You know, a burpee is, if you're unfamiliar with it, you go from a standing position down into a squat, then you drop down onto the ground into kind of a push-up position, and then all the way till your belly. And then you bring yourself back up through those positions. So you kind of swiftly move through a push-up and then into a bottom of your squat position, and then you come up from there standing, and then you jump at the top, and then repeat. And the goal is to do that in succession and complete those 100 repetitions as quickly as possible. And so there's a lot of interesting things that happen in that workout, and that's one of my favorites for a couple reasons. You know, one, it doesn't take very much time and it totally kicks your ass. Every time I do it, I feel like I got my ass kicked, and it always takes me less than 10 minutes, and I tend to be somewhere in the, you know, 7+ minute range. And for me, I feel completely exhausted when I'm done with that. And there's not a lot of things that you can do for 7 minutes that really, really get you going like that, unless you apply this approach. And so burpees, okay, that's one example. Now we can look at any other example. Let's look at even just running. So for running, instead of going on your typical jog that you would do, maybe, you know, 1 to 3 or 5 miles or whatever that is, don't worry about the time or the distance. Instead, look at setting a short timer on your watch or on your phone or whatever it is that you run with, or just count in your head, and try to run not a full out sprint, but something that's much faster than your normal jog, and see if you can sustain that for somewhere between 10 and 30 seconds. And then take a gentle jog after that for the equal amount of time. And I will put money on it that workout will be much different than your typical just going for a jog at the same pace. And again, it's because we add in this intensity component that it really changes the demand on our physiology. And because of that demand, we change the stresses and our body adapts to stresses. You know, that's really the goal of working out in and of itself, is that working out is to put a challenge or a stress to your body that then it therefore has to adapt to and come back more robust. And so the act of, for example, lifting weights is actually damaging to the muscle tissue. It breaks it down. But then our body takes our amino acids and from our food and builds that back up and allows it to become stronger, because now it realizes that it's going to need to be more robust to accomplish that task in the future. And so there's a value in adding these stresses where we push ourselves. Now, of course, you don't want to push yourself so hard that you can't breathe or you pass out, and you don't want to push yourself so gently that you don't get any benefit at all. And so I think you have to, you know, you have to play with this stuff and, you know, understand your own body and figure out where the point is where you're appropriately challenged. And I think it's challenging because it's always changing, you know, and it can even change day to day, dependent upon how much sleep you got the night before, or maybe what you ate yesterday for dinner, or there's so many other factors that are involved in this stuff. And so I think you have to really kind of take the approach of being a student of your body and of your environment, and try to pay attention more to what the inputs and outputs are. You know, if you wake up and you do your workout and you feel fantastic, you know, maybe try to look back and see what the sequence of events or nutrition or sleep patterns or whatever that is for the previous day or so. And a lot of times that can give you some pretty interesting clues to maybe what things you need to adjust or do more of, or just kind of pay attention to, because again, all of us we're similar in so many ways, but we also have so many differences. And I think that when it comes to exercise, nutrition, sleep, and kind of the combination of all these things, that I would say is really kind of the definition of wellness, those can all be very nuanced from person to person. And I think the only way you're truly going to figure out what is best for you is a lot of trial and error and research. And, you know, research meaning that you pay attention to, again, the inputs and outputs of your own body and your own life. Because, you know, I know that for me, I am someone that needs 7 to 9 hours of sleep, preferably, you know, on the 9 hour side of that. And if I don't get that, it takes me a really long time to get going for the day. And I'm nowhere near as effective as I am if I can get that full 9 hours of sleep. I also find that if I have a really big meal, especially if it's earlier in the day, that I'm also very unproductive and inefficient for many hours after that. So, you know, those are little things that are just specific to me, and maybe other people have similarities, but I know I would have only figured that out if I took this kind of active learning approach of, you know, paying attention to what I put in and what I get out. And so I used to have really big lunches, and I found, you know, again, after not being able to be as productive after that and feeling very sluggish, I changed that, and that's made a big difference for me. And so I think you're constantly having to adjust and change, and who knows, I might find in the future that a big lunch is my preferred larger meal. But I think you will only find those things out if you are paying attention to what's happening around you and to what you're putting in and getting out of your body. So I'm going to wrap this up. But again, the overall theme, I think, is that it's not always about what you're doing as far as the exercise in the gym or at home, but oftentimes how you're approaching that as far as the intensity that you're putting in, the purpose that you're doing this for, and what the goal is at the end. And so, you know, make sure that you are paying attention to those factors when deciding what type of exercise to do. And, you know, keep in mind that there's a lot of great options out there. And so doing something, I think, daily is really the best bet, even if it's something as simple as going for a light walk and focusing on your posture. You know, the little improvements that we make daily really stack up in the end. So I hope you found this helpful, and I hope you'll come back for more in the future. Thanks for listening. To learn more insights to fitness, wellness, or lifestyle, or to sign up for my newsletter, go to thealmostathlete.com.